You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. This is the Nature Connections show, and today I'm talking to Sophie Nock. Welcome to the show, Sophie.
Thank you.
Now, Sophie is the trustee at Chalice Well and has been part of the Chalice Well Flower Essence team since its inception. So we're very honoured to have you with us as a guest today, Sophie.
Well, I feel very blessed to be here. Thank you for having me.
And I imagine that some of the listeners today may not have heard of Chalice Well if they're living outside of the UK. And indeed, maybe people inside the UK as well haven't had the chance yet to visit. So it would be lovely if you could fill us in a little bit on the Chalice Well and its history.
Okay, sure. So the Chalice Well is one of the oldest holy wells still in use in the UK. And it's in Glastonbury, in Avalon. And Glastonbury was said to be one of the Druid mystery schools. So I believe that there was a strong Druid centre here in Glastonbury. And I'm sure they would have been making essences, etc. And Glastonbury is full of myths and legends. So it's also said that Jesus visited here as part of his preparation before he took on his ministry at 33. And again, I think that there's so much correlation between the ancient Druid traditions and sort of the early Christian teachings that he would have come here and been around the well for peaceful meditation, contemplation, and also, I think, possibly making essences, as he was to do with the Essene community. And from Qumran, we know that there was a fragment from the Essene Gospel of John, which says, "It is said they did marvellous things and healed the sick and afflicted with diverse grasses and wondrous uses of sunlight and water." And that compares to an early Chalice Well guide, which says, "Experts tell us it was associated in ancient times with rituals of sunlight and water." So I think all that was going on in those days, creating this sort of morphic field of healing, of contemplation, a sort of a temple atmosphere. Right through to after the crucifixion, Joseph of Arimathea is said to have taken the chalice and buried it, possibly in Chalice Hill. So Chalice Well is an iron-rich spring. So it's also traditionally called the Blood Spring. And that sort of suggests in alchemy in the 13th century that became very popular, and the blood sort of holds the soul. So the fact that it's the blood in the water as well, and with the essences, you're sort of connecting with the soul of the plant. So I think, you know, it all sort of meshes together.
Yes.
And the Grail legends come in, and so the knights were questing around Avalon, around Glastonbury. And my sense is that the Chalice Well was very much a sort of a heart centre within this contemporary spirituality. There's a sort of a chakra centres of the world, and Glastonbury is meant to be the heart centre. And I always think of Chalice Well as the heart of the heart centre. And I think that part of that is this sort of conscious co-creation that's gone on there for such a long time between nature, these cycles that go on, that our founder in the 1950s of the trust, the Chalice Well Trust, Wellesley Tudor Pole, he was very resonant with the holy story, but also with the nature kingdom. So he spoke very early on about his experiences with the Copper Beech, of keying in his consciousness. And he was aware, he said, you know, that the Chalice Well waters should only be taken 7 drops at a time, which is what we use for the essences. So he was very prescient. So I feel this sense of destiny in a way with the well waters being used to co-create, to make essences with the plants there, because there has been this very conscious awareness around the garden. Chalice Well is very famous for its garden, and Ark the gardener practices mindful gardening and connects in with the devas of the plants before he, say, does any pruning, or, you know, it's a very beautiful atmosphere there that's been nurtured over, I think, you know, hundreds if not thousands of years. So it feels a great blessing to be working in this way with this plant consciousness, and it's certainly very responsive to us wanting to do it. And I think some of that's also because we have gatherings there on the Wheel of the Year. And so we're honouring that sort of ancient cycle, the ancient fertility cycles with, you know, Christ consciousness and a sort of a universal spirituality as well. And that somehow that deepens one's connection with nature, and then you can love it more fully, and then you sort of want to celebrate it more, and then you see it more, and it's this wonderful cycle of virtue that sort of seems to be happening in a sense.
Yes, yeah, well, I certainly the passion that's coming through, enthusiasm coming through your voice, I think will really resonate out very well to people who are listening. We get a real sense, I'm getting a real sense, and I've visited the Chalice Well Gardens on many occasions, but I'm feeling the energy all over again as we actually raise that between us here.
Yeah. And we work very much in that way with the sort of the Aquarian principle of resonant beings. So we work as a group making the essences, which has been a really interesting experience to work with groups of sometimes three or four, but sometimes recently up to 13 with one of the ranges that we've done. And then recently, because people now with the internet can tune in, they know that we're making essences on the Wheel of the Year days, and they tune in via Facebook online. And we have hundreds of people who are sort of there, part of that co-creative process, which is really interesting how it's expanding.
Have you noticed a difference in how the essences are being made, you know, how it feels during the making, since you've had people coming in who are not physically present?
I mean, it is very interesting, because you sort of, when you know that that's happening, you're sort of holding them in your heart as well. So it is this very expansive experience. And interestingly, one of the quotes that Wellesley Tudor Pole left us with, he said that Chalice Well is a place where the veils are thin and the light can come through more easily, and everything that happens there or is felt there is magnified. And so it does feel like this sort of great magnification, because I think it is somewhere that people from all around the world, we have something called companions, where people can join and be part of that Chalice Well sort of family almost. They help to support the well in that way. And when it is a festival day, like Beltane or something like that, then we know that there are companions who would love to be with us, who we would love to have with us, who are there and who know that we're making an essence. And very much, I think, that you can feel that. And it's very interesting to do it, you know, with people that haven't done it before or didn't come there for that, but they feel it. So it is a fascinating process, that definitely, I think.
Yeah, well, I'd love to talk to you about some of the essence, individual essences, and some of your other sets as well, in a second. But because I know that water obviously is a large component of the essences, can we talk a little bit about the water that comes through the Chalice Wells and indeed through Glastonbury?
Yeah, absolutely. So where we are, Chalice Well, is sort of in a little valley in between the Tor and Chalice Hill. So Chalice Well arises at the foot of Chalice Hill, and we always collect the water. There's a little lane called Wellhouse Lane, so we always collect the water of the Red Spring of Chalice Well in Wellhouse Lane, and we always consciously ask for the blessings of the water, because that's what's really encoding our consciousness. So we're very much connecting with that. And then on the other side, so the Chalice Well, the Red Spring, it's an iron spring. It's very rich in chalybeate as well.
And you can really taste it, can't you?
Yeah, it tastes like blood, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strong and enriching. And on the other side of the road is the White Spring, which is more calcium-based at the foot of the Tor. So we use some of that water as well, half of that water as well, when we're making the mother tincture. So and we would connect consciously in with that. So it feels as though there's the red and the white, and that the blending of those is part of a unity consciousness as well. So that feels very significant. And I think that the white somehow stabilizes a little bit the red, because it's so organic, the red.
So yes, so it's very much part of what makes the essences themselves unique, and people not only receiving the consciousness of the plants, Devic element, but also receiving this more earth connection as well, aren't
they? Exactly, and this sacred holy water, because, you know, for a very long time, Glastonbury water has been holy water. It's been used in churches and everything. So it is this very holy water. And we also use local apple cider brandy. And so as Glastonbury is the Isle of Apples, and apples have a whole sort of mystical quality to them as well, because they have the pentagram in them, it feels as though that also informs it in a funny way, that even though the brandy is really there just to fix the vibration, it also informs it. And because it's local, it feels very much part of it too.
Well, I mean, that's really good to just explain that, the background to the essences, so that people listening get a real sense of the gardens. And I think just while it's kind of coming through my mind, if you go onto the Chalice Well website, you can see the gardens, can't you?
Yes, you can do a virtual tour.
That's right, yes, you can get a real experience of the gardens.
Yeah, yeah.
So I encourage people listening to actually do that, and we'll flag up the website for that at the end as well, where people can go and have a look. So let's talk a little bit about the essences. And you mentioned this already, but the co-creation. So how do you make them? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So when we make them, it's usually will be something like perhaps a full moon, or in the case of the yew trees, a new moon. That was made around Samhain, the yew trees, whereas the apple trees were made around Beltane, which is May, and Samhain is at the end of October, Halloween. So it very much depends on the time of year, but often we do try to do it with the moon. I believe that the full moon is a time of sort of like when the sap has risen and it's sort of full power in that sense. We usually do it at early in the morning. I think the pranic energy is very strong then. It's very pure, clear space to do it in, because everything around informs the essence. So often in the garden we have a lot of birds present, or there might be animals around, or even, you know, children in the background, but it all sort of informs the essence. So early in the morning gives quite a lovely pure picture in a way for the plant to imprint in. We do it very much as a resonant group, so it will be, we have a core team, so usually there's at least three of us there to sort of anchor it, who do all of them, and other people are invited to do them. If they want to do them, then they can come and do them, like say Anthony, who's our orchard keeper. He was there for apple. And we do a sort of a tuning in process before. We would typically do the Chalice Well invocation, which I could always read if there's an appropriate point to do that.
That
which
would be lovely, yes. Very lovely.
Shall I read it now?
Yes, while we're in that moment.
Okay, so just to get us in the mode. So, I call upon the overlighting Deva of the Chalice Well, the spirit allies working with the Chalice Well essences, Gaia, Pan, the Christ consciousness, ascended masters and the blended ray, and our personal guides, guardians and angels. I ask that I may assist the evolution of consciousness, and that I may give and receive all that is needed at this time, healing, guidance, support and wisdom, that I may be my true self, co-creating my life journey and the fulfillment of my soul's purpose with love and light. I ask this for the highest good of all beings, and give thanks for these divine gifts. Amen.
Thank you.
So we would typically say the invocation beforehand, just to get that heart entrainment, that sort of coherent heart. And we're very much going to get out of our own selves, just to be a clear channel, really, to receive whatever the plant wants to transmit to us through this essence. So we would say a little prayer, we'd ask the plant, we would already have asked for its permission, we'd ask the plant to share with us its healing and what we can learn from it, and to share its energy into the essence. So we'd all have our hearts very open for that, and just hold our hearts open and connect in with the heart of the plant in that sense, with the overlighting Deva of that plant, that plant as an ally, and hold space for that to come into the water. And the amazing thing is you know from your own work, when it's done, the water changes colour, you know, it looks thicker. It always blows people away. Then we've all been writing during that time, and when everybody feels as though they've written enough, and we get a sense that it's made, then we would give our thanks to the plant. We would gift some back to the plants. Thanks and appreciation feels so important in this. And then we would usually have a little bit, each of us.
A toast.
Yes, exactly. A toast to the rising sun often. And that feels very much like communion in a way, like an ancient natural communion. And then after that, we will bottle and then we will share what we've written. And invariably, we call it the hive mind. Invariably, people will have all got aspects of the same themes. I mean, it's very interesting. Recently, we made silver birch on a retreat, and everybody who wouldn't necessarily have known the Ogham, which is the ancient Druid alphabet, got birth, new beginnings, journeys. You know, it's incredible how ancient this is, all in our DNA, especially because, you know, much of the time it's, say, the indigenous plants, or, you know, it's still, it comes through. So it's such a beautiful process and such a holy process as well. I feel very much as though it's a prayer, and the clearer that we can be in that essence making experience, the more humble in that sense that we can be, the less of ourselves or our ego or anything, then the stronger that plant can come in, and then it's as though it lives inside us. It becomes our sort of ally, and, you know, it's this beautiful meeting of souls when you make an essence. So I do feel extremely blessed to be able to do this work.
Yes, you're very, very lucky, aren't you? Yes, what a lucky girl. Well, you are.
That everyone can do it, can't they? That's the thing.
And as you say, we co-create our lives, so look what you've all co-created there. So talking of everybody being able to make their own essence, which of course we all can, when you make your essence,
there, Zara.
Yes, we lost there a little bit, we're back.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll just start that sentence again, and then I'll edit it. Okay.
Okay. Clever. Yeah.
So what was I saying? I'll need to kind of go back.
Yeah, do it.
And make sense of it. But when you make your essences at Chalice Well, do you cut the flowers? Or do you just hold the bowls underneath the flowers?
Yeah, what we do is it very much depends on what plant and who is doing the making with us. So, for example, on Golden Rose, which we made on St. Michael's Day with the golden roses that grow near the Vesica Pool at the well, we did actually cut one of those and we used it in the essence. But say, for example, with you, then we just held it in. And more typically, we would just hold it. It's a lot about the living essence is what we're actually encoding. But sometimes it's easier for students or people to be able to tune into the essence when they can see the plant in the water and they can see it sort of transmitting in there. But typically we would, because we're working in this co-creative way, we're working with the sort of the deva of the plant, then we wouldn't want to cut it. We'd want to use it as a living plant, usually.
And that's what is really fascinating, isn't it, when you don't actually cut the flower or the plant and the water still changes.
Exactly. And it's also really fascinating when you look at Bach and he says, you know, you need 4 hours and not a cloud must pass the sun. It's very interesting that you can do it without the sun being there, although invariably it comes out just for those moments. But, you know, when you're working in a conscious way with the plant, making that connection consciously, it's a different way of working. And I think that because the veil is thin there, and because I think these things have been done for hundreds, if not thousands of years there, then it's easier somehow to do it. So it's not so necessary to cut it.
Fascinating.
Mm.
So let's talk a little bit about the essences. So it's a fairly compact range, so easy to understand, isn't it? You haven't got hundreds or loads and loads of essences. Yeah. So you've got 9 individual essences, I believe.
Yes, that's right. In that range, we've got 9, individual essences. And they very much form a journey, a bit like people come to Chalice Well as a pilgrimage. This range presents a sort of a journey. So you start off with cherry blossom, which is very much cleansing, and then you're moving into alignment and self-revelation, and you're moving towards joy. And ending up with unity, which was one that we made on Companions Day in 2007 with all the companions around the Vesica. And we were very much focusing on the sort of the cup of joy, which was, in a sense, I think Tudor Pole had an image of that, as opposed to the cross of suffering. The cup of joy is very much sort of more of the Aquarian age. And everybody just sent their love and light at the end of this wonderful Companions Day into a lovely crystal bowl chalice in the middle of the Vesica. And people told me afterwards that they could see the light going in. So that's at the end of the range, is the unity, because that was such an incredibly huge 150 people in that resonance circle. And that was a beautiful one. But yes, you're right. It is... It's a compact range. It also, you can work with it in trinities as well, which is quite interesting. So there's one for sort of cleansing and things like that. So people can sort of tune into what they need on it. They don't need to do all of it, or they can do all of it if they feel to.
And you also have a new set of essences that's been launched fairly recently, your Heaven on Earth set.
So those were interesting. We started those in 2012. It was the end of the Venus transit in June 2012. And that was after an 8-year Venus transit. And Venus makes this beautiful 5-petaled rose flower shape in the heavens during this transit. So we just recorded the end of that, and that felt very much as though it was a lot about love. It felt a very special moment in time. It coincided with the full moon and an eclipse, and it was very strong energy. And then 6 months later, that was sort of like the opening gateway for 6 months later, of course, was the Mayan 2012 celebrations on the 21st of December. So we made another essence at that point, and that was an incredible day as well, because I'm sure everyone in the UK will remember that was just a winter of rain and, you know, grey skies. But that day was glorious sunshine. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people at the well that day, and it was just this beautiful heaven on earth day. Very powerful day, beautiful day. So the first essence became the Venus essence, became the love essence, and that essence became the power essence. And then we combined them together. We got the light essence. So these are often taken in sprays. So we've been, you know, excited to be experimenting with sort of the effect of it as sprays as well. But they're beautiful sets. So we're really happy with those, and they feel very much part of this sort of Aquarian wave that Chalice Well fits in.
Yes, you're kind of moving through with the times, aren't you? You're using what's present in the garden, but also using the energy that is created and exists to create essences that are moving people through what's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. And they were very sort of cosmic ones in a way. It was I think it was 13 people that made those essences, and when we did the sort of the debriefing at the end, there were so many parallels that some people would say balance, but other people had an image of a seesaw and not really associated it with balance. Or there was a lot of talk about Herkimer diamonds, and, you know, somebody had a Herkimer diamond on them. There was a lot of correlation and resonance amongst that group as well. So, you know, it was an interesting process and beautiful.
Well, it's been fabulous talking to you. And would you like to tell everybody how they can find out more about the well?
Yeah.
Chalice Well, and how they can buy your essences.
Yeah, okay, lovely. Well, Chalice Well's website is chalicewell.co.uk. And please do, chaliceworld.org, I think it is. Sorry about that, chaliceworld.org. And Chaliceworld Essences have got their own little site, which is lovely, on the main website. So if you go to shop, you can access that. It's got information and pictures of the flowers. And also, I think, I'm sure that there's a gallery of different makings and everything. So absolutely, you can order online. And you can also, as Sarah said earlier, walk the garden and have a little tune in for yourselves to Chalice Well.
Presumably you ship worldwide quite a lot.
Yes, we do. We do. We ship a lot to Japan, all over the world, because we have companions all over the world. So, yeah, we do. Brazil.
And you also have a practitioner training, I
believe. Yes, which is started this year, which is very exciting. So, that's a training where you can become a qualified Chalice Well practitioner, and it's over 5 weekends. There's homework as well, and you'd need to do your anatomy and physiology too. But we've got a beautiful group going through that process at the moment. We're making essences every time, and it's proving to be a really lovely course.
So it sounds like not only a course learning about the Chalice Well essences, but also in the whole co-creative energy that goes alongside the gardens.
Yeah, absolutely. And in our sort of tradition of healing, of meditation, of co-creation, it's all in that curriculum. So it's a real pleasure, actually, to do it. I enjoy it myself every time. So
no, sure, yes. Cool. And you mentioned a couple of times as we've been talking the companions.
Yeah,
tell everybody a little bit about that in case there is anybody that would like to come along and support the gardens.
Well, again, you can enrol as a companion on the website, and I think it's about £25 a year. For that, you get I think it's 3 or 4 editions of the Chalice, which is our wonderful news magazine, which is really beautiful. And you can also stay in our 16th century retreat house called Little St. Michael's, and you can meditate in the upper room, which Wellesley Tudor Pole created in memory of the Last Supper, is in one end of it, and the other end of it is this incredible meditation space. It's been held in that way for over 50 years as a silent space. It's got very strong energy in there. So definitely to become a is great, because it really supports the well. It gives you free entrance whenever you're there, and you can go as much as you want. So it's a really good thing.
And as you, again, as you've mentioned, you hold regular workshops days throughout the year to celebrate different elements of the cycle, different moments.
Exactly. Summer solstice is coming up, so that will be a big one. So every each one of the cross quarter festivals we do, and the main festivals as well, on the sort of Celtic wheel of the year we do. So lots of people come, and then we have a silent meditation because we're all united in silence. Normally we'll say a few words to contextualize it, what our ancestors were doing at that time, and then there's a space for people to share. So we have lots of creative input from everybody there. This time we've been making an essence, and then there's a conversation cafe down on the lower lawn, so people get more chance to share later on as well. So they're really lovely gatherings, really strengthening all of our roots.
Yes, we need that, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Well, thank you, Sophie. I've really enjoyed receiving the Chalice Well energy myself, and I'm sure that that is going to happen for everybody that listens. Thank you for all the hard work that you do, for all your commitment to the spreading of this word, and all the wonderful work you do with the Dybbuk Kingdom.
Oh, well, thank you. Lots of love to you and to everyone listening. Happy Essence Awareness.
Yes.
Wow.
It's wonderful. It's great to be doing it within that energy, isn't it?
It is great. It's lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Sophie. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.